Hey, I'll give you a letter, yes, in the next week.
Thank you.
Thanks, you too. Nicole, I'll be in touch with you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Awesome, thanks.
You too.
Case number 1122-327. Good afternoon, thank you for your patience. Sir, can you please identify yourself for the record, spelling your last name indicating the authority you're representing here today?
Yes, Jeff, last name is Lamson, L-A-M as in Mike, P as in Paul, S-O-N, representing Windsor Locks.
I see Sergeant there, thank you. Sergeant, would you like to make an opening statement?
The appellant had applied for a pistol permit with the Windsor Locks Police Department. I feel that in order to give some accurate context to this, it's important to lay a foundation of the appellant's relationship with a pistol permit applicant
mm-hmm.
prior to hers
mm-hmm.
that had been declined.
Mm-hmm.
Went up to appeal and the appeal was upheld. Finding for the issuing authority with that specific case, the appellant at the time harbored a lot of anti-police rhetoric and sentiment, which he had also posted on a podcast or some type of social media platform, in which he made a comment, "I'm going to put pigs in the ground or in the dirt," along with other anti-police rhetoric. His permit was denied on that basis, and he appealed, and like I said, the board found in favor of the issuing authority. Shortly thereafter, I received an applicant. The appellant applied to the Windsor Police Department for a pistol permit, and they come into my office, and then I kind of assign them. But I honed in on the address. The address had been flagged in our system for the reasons I just mentioned. But I had never met the appellant, and you know, the sins of the father don't necessarily transfer down to the sins of the son. So, with an open mind and objectivity, I began to do my research, and that's when I discovered that the appellant had, mistakenly or not, there was an error on the application. I discovered that the appellant had in fact been the subject of a protective order. I believe she indicated no. And in the process of my background, I located some police contacts with other agencies in which, in my opinion, the appellant displayed an uncooperative attitude with the police. One of the incidents involved a gun that her significant other at the time that she was with, who had been subsequently denied, was involved in. A history of domestic violence issues. So when you look at the blueprint, which I know is subjective, of suitability, I felt that she fell outside the boundaries of that, and so she was denied. I know I'm kind of paraphrasing here,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just trying to give you a little bit of background and then my investigation, and then I'll be more than happy to answer any questions.
Ma'am, would you like to make an opening statement?
Just to basically respond to what he indicated, I am no longer with this significant other. He's been out of my household for over a year now. I just felt like the denial was based on who I was associated with rather than my history, like just being a good citizen, doing my job, taking care of home, my kids. Don't really get into stuff, so. And then the whole gun incident that I was involved in was my significant other at the time had a pistol permit. We got into an altercation at home. We were arguing, yes. He stepped outside of the house going to leave, but he remembered that he left his phone in the house from what I recall and what I know that he said happened. And what I know happened is that he decided to call the cops, the police at the time, because he thought I was gonna withhold his phone from him and not be able to go inside and get it. So at that point, when the cops arrived, he made it known that he does have a pistol permit and he has a gun in his vehicle. And from there, apparently he had a warrant for an arrest. I don't really know the specifics of that warrant. All I know is that he was involved in something in East Hartford where he like physically got into an altercation with an employee of a business. I don't really know anything else more to say at this point. Like, I'm out of any situation. Like, everything that was denied, I think it even mentioned the father of my children, which is now deceased for like 6 years now. So I'm just, everything that was mentioned there is like over with. I'm not with the significant other. He's no longer in my household. Like, I don't know.
So the former significant other, it sounds like he moved out of your house?
My most recent one?
Yeah.
Correct.
So you still live in Windsor Locks?
Correct.
Okay. Sergeant, you had a pretty lengthy opening statement. Did you want to add anything or to what you already said? Or okay. Ma'am, do you have any questions of the sergeant based on what he has stated so far?
I think it's a question that you guys might ask him. Is it,
well, you can ask
if
it.
If I were to apply now, would you approve it?
No. I would still have rendered the same because, again, I feel you omitted your answer with respect to the question regarding the protective order / restraining order. And you also, again, this is my opinion,
mm-hmm.
You also displayed a history of being uncooperative with the police. And so with respect to other agencies outside of Windsor Locks, mm-hmm. and so what I look at that through the lens of an investigator. And if you were to be given a pistol permit and you had an incident with a gun, are we going to encounter that same uncooperative attitude that's going to stymie our investigation, which is to, you know, keep the public safe? And there was nothing written in the reports from either Hartford Police Department, and I can't remember the other, it was either Bloomfield or Windsor, that really justified an uncooperative attitude. And in fact, one of them involved your significant, at the time, significant other. And it was an incident that involved a gun. So I can't just dismiss that. And just to give you a little context, when you look at suitability, which is very subjective.
You've asked a question. Believe me, you will get your chance to respond.
From my responsibility, when you look at there's a framework of subjectivity, even though you can't really define it, and most people fit within a certain framework where they don't have a lot of contacts with the police, they're not involved in domestics, their application is complete and accurate. If they do have contacts with the police, or if they had, those contacts are usually benign and innocuous in nature. There's no pattern of being uncooperative, and there's no association to someone who harbored a blatant disrespect and toxic animus towards the police in which he encouraged killing cops, which you could probably still find on the internet. So when you take the totality of all that together, yes, I'll look at you right in the eye and say, yeah, I would to this day still deny you and then leave it up to the board because I feel like I owe that to the people who are suitable that apply.
Any other questions?
Do I have something to say? Can I say something?
We're going to go in order. So it's asking him questions, and then you'll have your chance to respond, and then we'll all be able to ask you questions. Does the board have questions of the sergeant?
How long was the protective order? That wasn't listed.
As a result of the appellant's 2019 domestic arrest in Windsor, which was later nollied, she became the subject of a protective order. So that would have been approximately 3 years from date of application.
I think he asked how long it was.
Yeah, how long was it in effect for?
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
So probably whenever the case was nollied.
That's a great question because I couldn't get that from judicial.
Because it was erased.
Right.
Okay.
Well, the protective order is not erased. The protective order should still be there.
No, it wasn't. And the judicial wouldn't dispose of
that. That's the first time this ever happened. We've got 10-year-old cases where the protective order comes in and...
Is it on a registry somewhere?
Yeah, the protective order registry. Yeah. No, see, the judicial record won't be there, but the protective order registry would still, the order would still be there. That's not erased. That's not part of the
And that may be, but if that's the fact, then I don't have that.
And the other thing is, I would like to hear evidence of the uncooperativeness with the police. So you just threw it out there, but you didn't know on this date and time, this is what she did. This is, you know, those type of things would be helpful because we, again, as I said for the previous hearing, creating a record, it's recorded. And it may be in here, but it's very difficult to get it.
It is, but I mean, do you want me to paraphrase it, or do you want me to?
You got to present enough of the evidence to show.
Well, in 2019, we'll start with 2019. Harford case number. Harford police case number 19-11062. I have a copy of the Harford Police Report right here if you need it.
What happened in that case and what behavior did she exhibit?
I'll paraphrase. Harford Police documented a breach of peace incident with a firearm which involved her significant other at the time. The appellant was also present. It was alleged that the significant other at the time had brandished the firearm during a verbal confrontation. Police attempted to interview the appellant during this investigation, but she did not want to be involved. So then there was another incident prior to this. It was the Windsor Police Department. I don't have my glasses, so sorry. I can't read this anymore. 16-24103 occurred in August of 2016. Again, I'll paraphrase. Police responded to a verbal incident, a verbal domestic between the appellant and her ex-boyfriend at the time, who I believe she said is deceased. And I want to be sensitive around that.
What year?
2016. This is Francisco.
Yes, okay. He's now deceased.
Okay. In any event, they had a. Struggling here. This was a incident involving her deceased ex at the time, who had made a allegation of wanting to harm himself, and which the appellant expressed to the police who had arrived. But this was not the, and I apologize, this was not the case that I had referenced, so I know it's going to sound kind of confusing and out of order. There's a few of them. Windsor Police, July 6, 2019. The police were dispatched to Victoria Street for a report of a male and female who appeared to be fighting. The police spoke with the complainant. Her significant other at the time, who had applied and was denied, he stated that he had gotten into a verbal argument with his girlfriend, the appellant. Made allegations that it was physical, and police wanted to question the appellant about her injuries, but she didn't want to cooperate. She was issued a summons for the breach of peace, assault third, against the significant other at the time.
Who got the summons?
The appellant. Breach of peace and assault third, released on a $509 surety.
Well, what happened in court on that one? Is that a conviction?
Redux knowledge.
Is that the 2019 incident?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it says Nolly.
Oh, is it Nolly? Do we know?
She has no criminal arrest history.
I'm just wondering where the record is coming from.
Windsor, 2017, the appellant had come to the Windsor Police Department seeking information about her order of protection. Police tried to provide her with resources with respect to having a protective order issued, a restraining order. She didn't want to provide any more information. She said that she contacted the Office of Victim Advocate and was going to apply for a restraining order. However, she did not want to provide any more information to police, even after being urged to provide information. Another domestic disturbance, Windsor Police Department, 2018. happened at a Petco on Kennedy Road. There was no arrest made. Police went to check on the subject of the couple, the appellant and her boyfriend at the time. Again, with respect to the nature of these cases that I'm paraphrasing, I believe that, again, in terms of suitability, they fall outside the blueprint or the pattern that you typically see in an applicant. You don't see an applicant with a pattern of these contacts with police. These aren't motor vehicle accidents, these aren't alarms. There's always some type of drama, whether it be a verbal altercation, a physical altercation, something. And I'll admit to her and I'll defer to her, she was probably in a very toxic relationship. I believe she was. And I think the best news that'll probably come out of this hearing for me is knowing that she's no longer with her boyfriend at the time. I mean, I think that a lot of her drama, yes, I'll acknowledge, was associated with the person that she was dating at the time, but nonetheless, it doesn't just disappear, and it has to be considered.
Yeah, definitely considered. There's a lot of stuff going on, but I don't see a real pattern of uncooperativeness, other than I don't want to convict them, doesn't want to give a statement. I don't know. I guess more of a concern, has she ever demonstrated any of the vitriol or rhetoric against police as her person?
And I'll go one step further, as far as I know, that she's never had any issue with the Windsor Locks Police Department, you know, outside of what's been presented here, which most of this doesn't even involve Windsor Locks.
Okay, thanks.
Other questions? Seeing none, any other witnesses? Okay, ma'am, you can tell us what you'd like us to know.
In regards to the indication on the application that I checked off, no. I'm gonna be honest, I don't really have too many understandings about when somebody says arrested. My understanding is you get put in handcuffs, you get taken to the station. I didn't get arrested that incident in Windsor, so that's why I checked off no. So they did contact me after the fact.
Just so you understand, you did get arrested.
Right.
Okay.
So that's what I understood after the fact. I didn't get put in handcuffs. They told me show up in court. So afterwards, when I read the paperwork, it's basically stating that you're in trouble. You're basically getting arrested, but we're not putting you in handcuffs and taking you to jail. Was basically what happened after my understanding of the whole situation. And I did explain that to them as well.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're fine.
We don't have an issue with the arrest question. The question that was incorrect was the protective order in the last 5 years. Within the past 5 years, have you been subject of a protective order, restraining order issued by a court in a case involving the use, attempted use, or threatened use of physical force against another person, regardless of the outcome or result of any related criminal case, which I think when you signed this in 2021, there had been a protective order, I think in 2019, if I have my, is that right?
Yeah, I would say that's
is that from that same situation with
yes.
the gun?
No. Probably your arrest.
The 2019 was when you were both, it looks like you were both arrested.
Right, that was the gun situation.
Oh,
he
it
had
was?
A gun and said, I have a gun in my vehicle. We got into an argument, he called the cops, and he was like, I just want to let you know I have a gun permit. I have a gun in the vehicle, and they took his permit, took the gun, I'm pretty sure, and then they arrested him because he had a warrant from East Hartford, is what my understanding was. So I didn't know I was being considered arrested at that time because they were basically like, well, you're both in trouble since you don't want to.
It's confusing because there are two 2019 incidents.
What was the other one?
One was Hartford and one was Windsor.
What? I don't.
Hartford, I just took notes from what the sergeant was saying. Breach of peace in Hartford. Breach of peace call. I don't think you got arrested.
You were a passenger in a vehicle.
You were the passenger. I thought that one might have been the gun one.
Wait,
displayed
if I'm recalling it correctly, was that on Main Street or something?
Do you remember ever being the subject subject of a protective order or a restraining order where you couldn't threaten somebody else or harass or go near?
I was the one that was protected in any situation that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Sure.
Mansfield? What year?
She just asked what street it was actually. That was Main Street. I just said Mansfield Street.
Oh, I thought you meant Mansfield, Connecticut.
No, no, no,
I'm like,
no, no,
I don't
no,
even
no,
know where that is.
No, no.
Okay.
Mansfield Street.
So if I recall correctly, if that situation involved a firearm was, again, my ex-boyfriend at the time. My ex-boyfriend at the time had a valid pistol permit, and we were just I was in the vehicle with him, his friend, and his friend's girlfriend. And we got pulled over. Mansfield. Why did I think it was Mansfield? Anyhow, if this is the incident. Yes, this is the incident. So he previously had gotten to a situation with somebody on this street because we were driving past his driveway and my ex-boyfriend at the time was talking to his friend, which was the neighbor, and blocked his driveway, and he didn't necessarily mean to, but so he realized he was there and he moved the car. But I guess they got into a verbal altercation. I don't remember what transpired, what was said to one another. However, that gentleman saw him with his gun on his hip. And at that point, from what I understand, they called the cops. We got pulled over on Main Street and we were handcuffed on the ground and let go because it was his gun. He was able to carry it. He had it open on his hip. I don't know if the gentleman thought that he was carrying it unlawfully, but he had a permit at that time. And, yeah.
Maybe I just can't function properly too. How do we know there was a protective order in 2019?
Through Records Department of Windsor.
There definitely was a protective order. I know there was a conditions of release, but was there definitely a protective order?
Well, this is the problem that I had, is that because the case was nollied,
yeah.
I had to call judicial to find that out. And actually, I called the clerk's office at the court, and the clerk said I cannot disclose that information because the case had been nollied.
Right.
The court may tell you that, but I don't do it because I don't do the pistol permit backgrounds, but the protective orders are still there in the protective order registry. You should be able to find that. Well, I don't know if the court was correct in saying that to you, but maybe because it's a court record at that point, it's in their file, not in the registry. Maybe they can't release it, but if it's in the registry, it would certainly be fair game.
When you run the appellant, there's nothing.
For protective orders?
Yes. So.
Yeah. I don't do it, so I would have to ask my investigator exactly how he gets them.
There's not, but it would stand to reason if they were involved in a domestic issue. I'll say it again. I think a lot of the issues that are being presented here today are circumstantial to who the appellant was dating at the time. I guess you can always make an argument. I mean, to the lay person that isn't familiar with these application processes and the judicial system and the legal ease of some of the language that's in there that spells things out, I can identify with how somebody could be confused. But it was the at the time, with the anti-police rhetoric and the timing of the appellant's application, which had been preceded by her ex-boyfriend's application, you had to give it its due weight. Could this be a straw purchase? You had to think outside the box. Straw purchase.
Oh, I get where you're going with that. Absolutely.
Investigations are difficult enough to develop and investigate, but so there was a lot to take pause in, and then.
No, I understand that. I understand where you're coming with that. I just wanted to know if we were sure anywhere that there was a protective order that would have made that a false statement on her application, which doesn't seem clear that we know that. So, anyways, I interrupted you, ma'am. I'm sorry. Sergeant, do you have any questions of the appellant?
No.
Does the board have questions of the appellant? Okay, seeing none. Do you have any other witnesses? I have to ask. All right, would you like to make a closing statement?
I just really hope that the board can reconsider the denial. I'm sorry, if the board could please reconsider the denial of my past situation. All circumstances that led to Windsor Locks not issuing me the permit.
Thank you. Sergeant, would you like to make a closing statement?
No closing statement.
Comments by the board?
I think hearing everything that has been presented today, would you offer any insight or thoughts on your interactions with law enforcement over that period of time?
I just remember being in what he called toxic situations where I didn't want to necessarily get anybody in trouble, whether it be that person or somebody else that was involved. So I would just say I don't want to be involved, for lack of a better word. I don't want to do this because I don't feel like I've contacted the authorities in many of these situations that were brought forward today. If I did, I would be more than happy. I feel like that's my right to not say anything if I didn't feel like it at the time, but I am happy to tell you everything at this point. Like, at the time, I might have been upset, I might have been threatened, I might have been all types of scared, for lack of a better word. So, yeah, it may have went that way. I can't recall word for word what I said, but I can say it may have went that way, where I was just like, I don't want to be involved, I don't have anything to say.
Did you not want to be involved because you were scared, or did you not want to be involved because you didn't want somebody to get in trouble?
More so scared than anything. That's how I lived maybe the last half of my life.
Why, briefly, why do you want the board to grant you a pistol permit?
I don't necessarily feel safe all the time in my own home, and I'm sure he's aware of the situations that have occurred between myself and my ex-boyfriend, where he has violated protective orders and came to my residence, and I have two girls, 14 and 12, that think I don't have family closer than 20 minutes away from me. So I can't just, hey, go check on my girls for me if they're home and I'm not there, if I'm at work. I feel like I need to protect my girls and my home. If it presented itself, but I don't feel safe, like, even with the protective order, because he violated it at one point and came to my residence, and I'm pretty sure he got arrested that night.
Thank you.
Other comments / questions? Dr. Conrad.
Appellant.
Attorney Sinetti.
Appellant.
Mr. Gray.
Appellant.
Colonel Lewis.
Appellant.
Chief Rosenzweig.
Yeah, me too. Appellant.
And Chair votes appellant. Thank you both.